Ed Blakeley has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton from Sydney's 2SER 107.3, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. No Nobel Peace Prize in Trump's immediate future. This morning we hear he has pulled out of the North Korea talks. What's going on?
Well, I think Pompeo is the guy who's behind all this. As you know, Pompeo's been to North Korea twice, and he really knows the temperature and lay of the land there. And he anticipated that the president would be embarrassed in the meetings by the North Koreans. The North Koreans were not only bellicose, they had orchestrated a number of diplomatic moves that would have been kind of a jujitsu on the United States. And so Pompeo pulled it out. And that's the reason it was a letter, not a phone call, not something in the news, not a tweet. Anytime something significant is done by this administration, it is done by a letter, as it should be. And so Pompeo actually is turning out to be a fairly decent Secretary of State.
Trump was desperate for a win here. In fact, he didn't really seem to be going into the talks in a real position of strength, which is no doubt part of the reasoning. He seemed to need a result very badly. He's also threatened military action if provoked. What could we actually see happen next?
Well, I'm not sure there, because the China, which we're going to talk about later, is still in this piece, and so is South Korea. The North Koreans need a deal. And if they don't get a deal with the United States, they'll get a deal with China that would blow the United States out of the water. So this is a very difficult game to play. I suspect the North Koreans feel a bit emboldened right now. And as long as they do, and with Trump as president, having no friends abroad, and this is a big issue, Trump has no support anywhere else except for Japan on this issue. So they're trying to recalibrate. I don't think we're going to see any bellicose actions. I don't think we're going to see any airplanes in the air shooting and bombing and all that kind of stuff. That's not going to happen. North Koreans will hold their fire.
Let's talk China. U.S. and China trade talks in Washington, we actually spoke about last week. We don't know much about what concessions are now on the table, but a ceasefire in the trade war, no import tariffs going through for either country. What's the latest?
Well, the reason for all this is that Mr. Trump is running out of money. There is a strong link between the possibility of one of these telecom giants coming in and the Trump empire getting some collateral funding for some of its projects. This is kind of a backdoor win for him, but a loss for the United States. This telecom giant that comes in the United States will make the Russians spying on the United States look like kindergarten. These are the guys who run the biggest websites and telecommunications programs out of China, and they have successfully blockaded Google, Facebook, and everybody else, and yet they're welcome in the United States in order for Mr. Trump to get some dollars on the side. So I don't think we've heard the last of this. The other thing, and the other big reason he did it, is the farmers started complaining. They were really being hit with the loans they took out for beef and other things that they were going to send to China. And it looked like they were going to turn against Trump. So he had to find a way out of this really quickly, because one of the things that's very perishable is pork and meat. And that meat was being prepared. So he had to find a way out. The Chinese will make a deal, but it'll be smoke and mirrors. Their barriers will not go down very much. Their protection of American patents, oh, what a joke. So I think this is a deal where the Chinese won this trade war.
On a similar tangent to North Korea, Iran, After cancelling the Iran nuclear deal, the Trump administration has been ramping up on sanctions, threatening to outright destroy Iran's economy. And the new Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, we were just discussing there, seems to be saying to European allies, you're either with us or against us. Given Iran was actually towing the line with the previous deal, and now we've got all these huge threats coming out of the United States, what is America even trying to achieve at this point?
Well, the thing they're trying to achieve is to appease the Israelis. The Israelis never liked this deal. And the Israelis have been significant actors in the war in Syria. The Iranians actually have been a little bit naughty. No, not just a little bit, very naughty in supporting Hezbollah and people like that in the region. And some of them have given a little bit of comfort to some of the ISIS crowd, not a lot of them. So the real battle here is not about nuclear weapons. It's about traditional weapons that are being used in Syria and that area just north of Iran, where Iran has been a very serious combatant, a very serious belligerent, and providing money, funds, and dollars to people who are antagonistic to U.S. interest. So it's not crazy what the United States wants to do, but we haven't got a president who can articulate it. And what he should have done was put this on the table and ask for additional things from Iran. But putting on additional sanctions, what's that get you unless you have a plan to get the Iranians out of those battles in the north and out of the Iraq space and out of the Turkey space? That's exactly what they need to say and need to do, and that can be done with the help of the Europeans.
Back on the home front, the Russia investigation reached its one-year mark, a point of contention in and of itself, but the biggest blast to come out of it was Trump's claims that Obama used the FBI to insert a spy into his campaign in 2016. Now, there's no evidence of this claim, of course, which Trump has said could be one of the biggest political scandals in history. And yet, here we are, and those working in the White House, those working in the Republican Party, continue on with these kind of claims.
These are just the kind of lies that you hear from dictators around the world. Big lies stick big, as Hitler's shown. And they will use this lie. The meeting that's being held today, where the evidence is being trotted out, will show that someone, and the person that speculated to be a longtime Republican, heard conversations from various people in the party who were fairly high up, like Manafort and so forth, about help from outside organizations and institutions who might be connected with the Russians. This man did what we should all do. If you hear something, say something. And that's exactly what he did. He reported these conversations to the FBI, who asked him, is there anybody else? And he says, I don't know, but I'll find out. And he started talking to people. And of course, he reported back. That's good police work. If you're looking for a drug dealer, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to find out his sources of supply. And the FBI was doing that. He was not a spy, but being a good American.
Also, the latest on the Michael Cohen saga. BBC reports this week the Ukraine paid the Trump lawyer $400,000 to arrange a little bit of extra time for their president to talk to Donald Trump. So you've got the president's time essentially for sale. No indication Trump knew about the payments, and I believe that personally because he doesn't seem to have much interest in what goes on all around him in the White House. Have we ever seen this much petty graft and corruption at Washington's highest levels?
Not since Warren Harding. And I believe before that, I forget the president who was before Lincoln, they were selling government offices out the back door. And that had to come to a stop. And so Harding graciously left office in a bit of disgrace, and so the other president. But this was fairly conventional stuff back in the old days. And it wasn't until around FDR's time that all these conflict of interest laws were passed. And once passed, of course, presidents follow them. And we have the embarrassing situation where the Republican that was appointed to the White House Department of Ethics has written a letter asking for an investigation of what's going on in the White House with respect to meetings like this. As basically, he's accusing people in the White House of committing felonies. So I think there is some pay for play going on, particularly now that it's come out that Donald Trump has received cash mysteriously to bail out all of his golf courses and hotels and doesn't need debt anymore. Where'd this cash come from? Can't find that out. And I think the reason for it is that everyone's in on this deal, including the Kushners.
In fact, far from draining the swamp, there was actually a sinkhole opened up on the White House lawn this week due to the extra swampy conditions. That's a real thing. Sounds like a bit of a metaphor. Interestingly enough, though, you mentioned Kushner there. Jared Kushner's finally received permanent security clearance, an indication he's likely not being investigated anymore by special counsel. What's your take, Ed?
First of all, there's no such thing as permanent security clearance. Security clearances have to be renewed either on an annual or every 6 months. What has happened there is the White House has given him this clearance primarily because he's no longer a suspect in the Russia probe in its entirety. That's not to say he's not done some things. And that's not to say that he will not be accused of these things by someone other than Mueller. And it may well be the Brooklyn federal courts will indict him for the activities he's done while he was working in the White House. Now they're using New York, and the reason they're using New York is because the New York federal district courts cooperate with the New York district courts, and so they'll issue joint warrants, joint proceedings against Mr. Kushner, probably in the not-too-distant future. So the president will not be able to give him a pardon.
Also, Stormy Daniels, what is actually going on with her and her lawyer, Michael Avenatti? If Mueller doesn't get Trump, will they?
I think they will. This is the most interesting thing that's gone on. It's like the flea biting the elephant. And now the elephant has a bad toe, and a fungus is growing up his leg, and it's exploding all over. And it's quite possible here that without Mueller doing anything, the president will go down simply because the federal judiciary will be after him on Stormy Daniels. It may be the federal judiciary will ask him to testify in this business and find out that he's committed several felonies as a sitting president, and that will be very bad news for him. That's what he's afraid of, and it looks like it's going to happen that way. So Avenatti is a very shrewd man. Stormy is now on the sidelines. Avenatti is going after the president, and there are so many people coming forward from the White House to assist him. It's amazing.
And just finally, Ed, the Santa Fe shooting. Unfortunately, these things, like these shootings, are happening in the States every week, it seems. Not an exaggeration. There have been 22 school shootings where someone was hurt or killed this year, up to and including Santa Fe. One of the witnesses at this most recent shooting said they felt it was only a matter of time before it happened to them. And I've seen similar stories about more U.S. students going, what will you do when this happens at our school? How long do you think it's going to be until we see something like this happen? Just briefly, Ed, any sort of final thoughts on that one?
I think this will mobilize the students to get out on these campaigns around the country. Trump can't defend this. The NRA can't defend this. I think we now have a real watershed here where if something isn't done very quickly, by the local actors, the national actors, the new ones coming on the scene, will have every reason to shut down this industry. And the analogy I'd like to give you is a tobacco industry that felt it was secure until a few class actions took it down. And I think the same thing will happen here. There'll be civil actions and federal criminal actions brought against the gun companies and the NRA. And it looks like the NRA was used by the Russians as a vehicle to funnel money into Mr. Trump's campaign. This is getting messier and messier by the minute.
Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.